something in the middle, because she has all these allergies and asthma. She thought it was her allergy, so she took like a Zyrtec. It went away. She thought she was fine. Well, she's waiting on the results.
Yeah,
mine.
So now well, my sister has I think she got a day. She had a sore throat and also one day. They told her, maybe not 20, but she said that. Okay, well, one of my students, mom called me up. And she's like, literally, it was like allergies.
Rachel is tested.
Yeah.
Okay. So she tested yesterday positive, which she was at Winnie's birthday party on Saturday night and at church.
Good to see everybody. Hope everybody's doing well this evening. And it's always good to be in the Lord's house. I hope you come wanting to see the Lord. It's always good to fellowship with family, but it'd be all in vain without the Lord. So We've been praying, ask the Lord just to have His will here this evening. I hope you have. A lot of needs, I'm telling you. It's, me and Brother Russell were just talking. We've had several in the church that have, some have tested positive, some are waiting on tests. So the stuff is still around, of course. So just again, try to do your best to keep yourself clean and all that good stuff. Drink Clorox every night or something, as our other president said. So something of that nature. But no, I wouldn't do that. But amen. All right. Well, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get started this evening and sing here in just a little bit. So, Father, we love You. Sure are thankful, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, just to even call upon Your name, Lord. And God, I know, God, this evening that when we call, You said that You would answer. And Lord, it's so good to know that. And Lord, I thank You for the peace and the power that comes with prayer. And Lord, I know tonight, God, there's needs all over this building. God, I know our church family's got a lot of things going on. There's so much sickness around about us. Lord, but help us to never lose sight. The greatest sickness of all is sin. God, help us, Lord, to be a light. Help us to be that salt. God, help us tonight as we come around Your table, just wanting to learn more about what You'd have us to be and do. Lord, I do pray for God that You'd help us to reach out to the lost. God, I pray, Lord, You'd give us a burden, God, to tell somebody about You. And God, just again, help us tonight, Lord, and we'll sure thank You for all You do. For it's in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.
All right, let's all stand up. Yeah, I was going to say, if he didn't retract that statement about drinking Clorox, I was going to say, you might want to, somebody said, well, the preacher told me to do it. All right, so turn to number 71. On Christ the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. And and we'll sing all the way through. So here we go, all four. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. All right, remain standing. Yes, there we go.
Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 6. Still trying to get this hoarseness out of me, but I'm hoping it's the inhaler I'm having to take that's doing it. I hope that's the problem. So maybe one of these days it'll get better. Ephesians chapter 6 this evening. Let's begin reading in verse number 10. Ephesians 6, in verse number 10. The Bible says here, God says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and on your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And I know a lot of people stop right there and say, "Well, that's the armor of God," but they miss probably the greatest part of the armor of God. Verse number 18 says, praying. God says to put on the whole armor of God, so it doesn't do any good just to put on pieces of it. But putting on all those pieces that we're going to look at without prayer, you still are not covered. So he says in verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So let's pray and we'll get started this evening. Father, we sure love you. Sure thank you, Lord, once again for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God, Lord. And God, we just ask you tonight to have liberty. And we sure will try our best to give you all the praise and honor and glory for us in your name. We do ask and pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Didn't have much announcement-wise, but Lord willing, we'll have church Sunday. I know people are already watching the weather, and I think I told Brother Mike back there when he was talking, I said, you know, God could just put his hand down and it just go to Florida. Who knows? Weathermen don't know. I can promise you that. So I don't know what'll happen. If it happens, it happens. If it don't happen, it don't happen. So we're going to plan on it not happening. I know some churches wait for one flake and they're in and out, buddy. They're going to cancel things, but we're not going to be about to use that wrong word, the S word. That Silas gets on to me all the time. We're not going to be crazy. We'll try to use some wisdom. So, amen. All right, let's jump back into this thing. I know it's been a little while, and it'll be all right. We're going to get through it. And again, it's something that I want to encourage you. It needs to be some great verses to try to memorize. Well, preacher, I can't memorize that. Why not? Start with, and again, I've told you before what I used to do. I don't do it anymore, but I shouldn't. I used to take index cards, and I'd write a verse on it every day, or my wife would. I couldn't read my writing, but she'd write me a verse out every day. And I'd go to work, and I'd have that index card in my pocket. And off and on through the day, I just pull that thing out and try to keep it going through my head. And it works. I promise you, it works. So you can memorize things. Just put your mind to it. All right. Let's go back and look just again. We're just going to work our way through real quickly to get to where we want to be tonight. Again, he says there, finally, and this is drawing this thing to a close, my brethren, it's to us, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And we looked at that again. It's not us. We can't fight the devil. I've heard people talk about, well, I'll go and fight the devil or something like that. That's nonsense. God's own angels wouldn't even say that. But tonight, I'm glad that we can withstand, as God says here. So he tells us here again to not our power, but his strength and power. And then verse 11, he says, put on, and that's what it is. You've got to do this. Nobody can do this for you. I think it was Brother Young last week mentioned Job and all that. Job prayed for his family. And I hope you pray for your family. But Job couldn't protect his family in such a way. You individually, we need to teach our youngins and our grand youngins the importance of putting on this armor of God. So put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able. And you are able, not in yourself, but in the power and strength of the Lord. You are able. God's made us able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's not going to stop the devil. It's not going to prevent the devil. And again, we give the devil a lot of credit. And again, when we first started this study, we showed you that our enemy, and it tells us a little bit about that, our enemy is not some dragon. Our enemy is not the devil himself. To be honest with you, why would the devil really pick out one of us? Now, he picked out Job. But the devil ain't everywhere. The devil can't be everywhere at one time. The devil don't have that power. Now, he does have his warriors. He does have his people that he uses. But tonight, again, this is that battle that we fight every day with ourselves. And what a great message that was last Wednesday about that hedge. I'd never seen that thought, that last verse he used there with about when the hedge is broken down, the serpent biteth. I'd never hooked that all together, but how true. How true. So he says again, for put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen, we don't need to be fighting among ourselves. That's one of the biggest problems in churches is they start fighting among themselves. We need to be strong. We need to have a great bond that we're not cutting our brothers and sisters down. We're trying to lift them up and hold them up and encourage them to fight that good fight. So he says here again, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And these are evil days. They're going to be continual evil days. So again, we need to stand in these days. For we wrestle not against, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, not some, not part, not 99%, but all. And Brother Melvin, what does all mean? All. A-double-L. All. Everything that God puts here, we can't just pick and choose. You need to learn to use all of the armor of God. Wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done all to stand. Verse 14, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, again, one of the things I want you to keep in your mind, God is using something here that is something that we can see. Aren't you glad God uses things that put some things in perspective? Now, I know today in our society and in our world today, we don't have the armor for our military, per se, like this armor that they had during Paul's day. They've made great technological advances in that. They have that Kevlar and all that different stuff that'll stop a bullet and all those things. You know, made great advances. But God is using something here that we ought to be able to put our mind to and literally see. Somebody gave me, I don't remember who it was right now, but somebody gave me a little statue of the armor of God. And again, we ought to be able to identify with those things and understand, again, this isn't something we've never heard. It's not something that that's so abstract that you can't get a hold of it. But we are being told to take this armor of God and use it. There is a battle. We know that. But you've got to learn to use what God has given us. Why would you want anything else? Remember David when he's getting ready to go out against Goliath? If anybody had the best armor, who would you think it would be? The king. And the king offered David his armor. And what did David say? Can't use that. Not tried it. Then why do we try to use things that the world says that this is better? Or you don't have to do that. Try this. We need to be like David and say, no, this is what God has intended us to use. It was good in David's day. It was good in Paul's day. And guess what? It's as good today. So in our battle, we need to learn to use the things that God has given us to fight with and to battle with. One of the things that I think in taking this armor of God, on putting on the whole armor of God, when we were in the fire department, and you can probably picture a city fire department even more better than what we were, but we had our turnout gear. And that was, it's just like, everybody know the history of our country a little bit. Remember the Minutemen? Remember that? I don't know if they still teach that nowadays. But there was a group of men that were called the Minutemen. Why were they called that? They were ready to go in a minute. In the fire department, we had our turnout gear in such a way that we could put it on as quick as we practiced over and over and over, just putting it on so you could get it on as quick as you could put it on and have it on right. Well, how much do we practice? How much every morning do we exercise ourselves on putting on the whole armor of God? Look with me this evening over in the book of Luke. We're coming back here in just a moment. But look over in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Let me get to the right place. Notice verse 35. The Bible says there in Luke 12, 35, it says, let your loins be girded about. And that's what we're getting ready to look at. That's the first piece that God tells us about the armor, is to gird ourselves with that truth. It says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Got a match? Got a match? Where's the match? Where'd you put the matches? No. You need to be ready. And that's what God's saying there. You need to have your loins girded with that truth and your light burning, ready, always on the set to go. You remember in the Old Testament when God was bringing the nation of Israel out of Egypt? There on that latter plague when he was getting ready to actually take them out, he told the Jews to have everything ready, have their shoes on, have their staff, everything they needed. Don't wait till it's time to go. There's a message there in itself. We're waiting on you like we always do. If you're going to be there at 8, let's leave at 8:15. All the men said, well, some of you men that are men said amen. I hate being late. I want to be early. It bothers me. If I come into something late, I know people, it don't bother them a bit. They come late and leave early. We need to have that mindset as a Minuteman, as a fire department guy, that we need to exercise and be ready. This isn't something, where did I put that? Have you seen it? I know all you men are probably like me. You've got a system. It looks like a terrible mess, but if your wife cleans it up, you can't find nothing. Some of y'all men might get a little stronger tonight. We'll see. Don't be afraid. Be brave. Because my wife wants things to be clean. I understand. But when it's clean, I can't find it. So there you go. That's not you. That's me. But again, Sunday morning. Now, listen, I've done it before. You've done it before. We've all done it before. Sunday morning, when you get ready to come to church, everything's going to happen. You'll be up and ready to go Saturday morning at 6 o'clock or 7. And come Sunday morning, you won't lay in the bed till 9:45-ish. Is that not true? your kids, or most of us don't have kids, but when your kids were small, your kids will never sleep late on any day but Sunday morning. Is that not true? They'll be up at the break of day on Saturday, and you're wanting to sleep. But come Sunday morning, you can't budge them. Is that not true? Why is that, you think? There's a battle. But on Sunday morning, you got to get out the door. Where's my Bible? Where'd you put my Bible? Wouldn't that be sad? I've laid my Bible down here in the church. I get busy. I have to go looking for it. But you ought to keep up with this thing. You ought to know where it's at. But again, we need to be ready. This is a battle. This is, and again, the urgency of it, I don't think we really get a hold of it. Now tonight, if we knew that China was coming or the Democrat, oops, take that out of the message tonight. Cut that out back there, Caleb. But if the Russians were coming or the Chinese were coming to invade our country, we'd be ready to go. Well, I promise you, the enemy, not China, not Russia, but evil is always present. It's up before you're up. It's staying out longer than you'll stay. Why? Because it's always a looking. It's always pushing. It's always trying. It amazes me. A snake and a rat are amazing creatures to me. I hate both of them. But a snake and a rat can get through some of the smallest holes I've ever seen in my life. If they can get their beak inside of it, I know they don't have beaks, but if they can get the first part of their nose in there, they're coming on in. Well, if a rat can do that and a snake can do that, how much more do you think the evil of this world and the evil of our flesh, you give it one crack, it's going to come in. And it's always pushing. It's not going to go for where you're strong at. You might say, no, I don't have any problems with alcohol. I hope you don't. And you know what? You know that. The devil knows that. He ain't going to go there with you. Amen. But that sin that so easily besets you, that's the one. He's going to poke it and poke it and poke it and poke it and poke it until you try to go with or go without. So there you go. So we need to be ready. That's what the Bible says there. Our loins girded and our light burning. Don't hide your light. Be ready to go. All right. Verse 14 back over in Ephesians 6. Again, it says there, stand. And that's what we need to do. It amazes me. Brother Young alluded to it last Wednesday night. It amazes me how many men used to stand on truth, used to stand and proclaim the King James Bible as the Word of God. They preached right. They preached strong. But because of some situation, they chose to leave their first love. Brother Young was preaching last Wednesday night, and I didn't say it, I don't think, last Wednesday evening. I think everybody here probably knows Brother Knox. He'll be back with us in April. Me and him were talking one day, and I don't say this against him. I love him to death. But his children have nothing to do with him. Don't want anything to do with them. And people say, well, it's because he was so... No. This is what he told me. He told his son. He told his son, please do not make me choose between you and God. Amen. That sounds easy, don't it? But you're going to come to that place. You're going to have to choose. It's not always easy to stand, but it still is right to stand. And we are able to stand. Well, preacher, they'll hate me. You might come to find out they love you because you did stand. I wonder how many people If they could go back and say, I wish I'd have stood. But they caved and they went and they allowed their whatevers to come into their families and their lives. And buddy, when you get one cockroach, you're going to have 1,000 cockroaches. I promise you. All right. So we started, I remember probably none of you remember all of it, but we're not going to spend a whole lot of time in there. The first thing God tells us here again to stand with what? He tells us to stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And again, truth. Pilate asked that question over in John, I think it was, what is truth? And today you need to ask that question. You need to be constantly. I've been listening. I don't remember the guy's name now in my Bible reading. And I found him leaving some words out. I don't think he did it on purpose. I think he just, you know, I can't imagine reading through the whole Bible and letting them record me doing it. But he's left out some things. And again, that's the reason I read along with him as he reads to help me to read better. But again, we need to understand that there is, how much of it does it take to not be truth? How much does it take for something not to be pure? I think I've told this. I'll say it because it comes right back into this. When I was a youth pastor, I was teaching, preaching on something. And I don't even know if you can still buy the Drano. Can you buy the Drano? The crystal Drano you poured? Anybody remember that? The old crystal Drano? I had some in my pocket. And I got them all thirsty, you know. Had a big old glass of sweet tea or water up there. And I had one flake of, I mean, I was building it up. I wanted them to really want that glass of tea or water, whatever it was. And I had one flake, or I had that thing of Drano, and I took one little old flake and put it in that tea. And I asked them, how many of you want it now? None of them wanted to drink that then. Oh, it wasn't but one flake. It was a little itty bitty. Oh, I ain't drinking that. That's poison. Well, then let me ask you something. How much does it take to destroy purity? We got to be on the watch. We got to realize there is but one truth. There can't be many truths. There is one truth. Truth with any lie is not truth. And God has given us truth. This is truth. God has said it over and over that this is truth. He tells us that this truth will make us free. So He tells us here again, it says there to girt your loins. And we talked about that again, picture in your mind. That the last time that we did look at this, I described it to you in the place because that was a place of strength. That this is your core part of your body. And that belt, just some of you might have seen this before. You ever seen power lifters? Have you ever noticed they wear a very wide belt? It's not to hold their britches up. What's that for? It's to get their core locked and steady and stable that when they pick up that massive load, it'll hold it because their back can't do it. But they girt themselves. So when God tells us to girt ourselves with truth, part of that is putting that truth around us to make us strong, to give us that core of strength. Listen, there's all kinds of things. What did the devil say? Did God say? And He's still doing that today. And that's the reason it scares me. And I'll be honest with you, I really don't know. I don't watch TV preachers because I don't know of one TV preacher that I would watch. And I know, don't come running to me afterwards. A lot of you probably watch, and if you can watch it, good for you, but I ain't going to name names. He's well known. But he's also been married more than once. And he also uses the wrong Bible. But people says he's a good preacher. I like to hear him. He's got a great voice. You take Slick Willie out in California. Why does he have how many thousands upon thousands of people in his church? It's not because he's girded it with truth. But truth is still right. And we need truth. Truth is what gives us strength. And I've asked a lot of people and nobody has the answer. You know, again, a lot of us in this room can remember back when we were younger and people actually understood that the Bible was the Bible. They didn't argue. It was the Bible. That was God's book. I mean, people used to actually, lost people would understand the reverence of this book. But people today, you'll go and try to witness to somebody and you'll say, well, the Bible says, and they'll be very quick to tell you they don't care what the Bible says. And there's no way that we can witness besides or outside of the truth. It does us no good to tell them what we think. It doesn't tell us any good to really try to rationalize with them. If they will not receive truth, you might as well go ahead and pack your bag that day and go to the house. So we need truth. That's what builds our core. Now, another thing about this belt that the soldiers would wear. Now, I know we don't dress this way today, but in those days, men wore those longer flowing type garments. And when they would go to battle or go to do something in a physical sense, they would take a belt. They would take that long garment and roll it up and tie it around the end of that belt to keep them from tripping or falling over their own clothes while they were fighting or working or whatever they were doing. So not only does truth gird us up and give us strength, but just as they would bind that clothing to keep them from tripping or falling, that's exactly what truth will do for you. We have some loose ends. We have some things in our lives that we need to get tied up around the truth. Because if we don't, you're going to trip. You're going to fall. And it's going to hurt. So you need to make sure that all those loose ends that's in your life, and I can't name them for you. I don't even know what all mine are sometimes. But when God shows me one that's, you know how it is. You get too busy doing something and you, before you know it, your shirt tails out of your britches. You know, you got to retuck in. But sometimes you don't know your shirt's got pulled out of your britches till somebody tells you. Well, same thing in life, I believe. Sometimes we don't know that something's come out, got loose, fell down a little bit. But God will show you. And you ought to know when you feel that or when you sense that, you need to take some moments and bind that stuff back up and get it girded about your loins with truth. So, look over in John 18:38, Pilate asked, what is truth? And truth sounds really good, doesn't it? I have tried my best, and I'm learning. I really learning, because I've learned to hate it in myself. When somebody asks you something, I have such a terrible habit. I have to catch myself. They'll ask the question, and I'll say something stupid, like, wrong word. I'll say something bad like this, wrong like this. You want me to be honest? Well, then why else wouldn't, isn't that the dumbest thing you could say? That just says that you could lie. So have you been lying to me? So I'm trying to get that out of my vocabulary about saying that, because that is to me one of the craziest things. But to be honest with you, and I've learned, some of you have learned, most people don't want to know the truth. The truth hurts. I know Miss Winnie just had her 50th birthday party and Brother Russell was telling me about pictures. And I asked him if there was some embarrassing pictures, because that's always fun. And he told me a couple, and I won't go there. But have you ever went and looked at old pictures? And you look at that and you think, did I really look like that? Is that me? Right? But that picture don't lie. That was exactly you. That mirror every morning, it don't lie. Well, guess what? This mirror here don't lie either. And that's what this book's called. It's called a mirror. And it's not going to tell you a lie. It's not going to make you puffed up and make you think you're something you're not. It's going to be truthful. That's what I love about kids. And I'm having more fun with Si than any youngin' I think we've had. That boy, he can think of some of the craziest things. But you ask a youngin' something, they ain't learned to lie real good yet. They'll tell you. That's the reason I always hated when my kids went with somebody from church home. You don't have to tell them everything you know. Now don't sit there and say, oh, preacher, every one of us has got things we don't want nobody else to know. But truth hurts. Truth exposes. Truth will whittle you up and spit you out. But it's still truth. I've said it before. I got to move, but when you go to the doctor, which nowadays it's hard for a doctor to know what truth is, but when you go to the doctor, don't you expect him to tell you that's the truth? When Ethan was in the hospital with one of his back surgery years ago, Dr. Tuning, great doctor, lost as a goose, great doctor, what he does. Ethan had gotten pneumonia really bad, and I still can see it in my mind. I can see him come into that room, and he took Ethan. I don't know how old Ethan was. He was just a little boy. He says, look, your mom and daddy's not paying me to be your friend. He says, basically he was telling me, you're going to do these breathing treatments, or I have ways to go into your lung and get that pneumonia out. And you don't want me to do that. That was truth. Or he could have come in and said, here's a sucker, you're all right. Just keep doing what you're doing. That's the world's way. Everybody wants to feel good. I'd be really scared if I went to under a preacher very long and he didn't preach something that rubbed me the wrong way. I really would. Because if the Word of God doesn't get you, cut you, stir you up a little bit, because you ain't perfect, we need that. We need truth. So truth. All truth comes from one place, and that's from God, through His Word. How would we ever know about the true depravity of man? History wouldn't tell us that. But God's Word tells us the truth of how these things came to be. So, the truth. How would we ever know God? How would we ever know Christ? How would we ever know the Spirit without truth? Oh, there's all kinds of ideas. I say they're like armpits. We all got them. I hope they don't stink, but you got them. Everybody's got ideas. There's things that I think about that I'll never tell anybody else. It's just foolishness that I think about. But true. And you can't, listen, you can't put a square peg in a round hole. That's where most of your religions, they'll take truth, cut it, nip it, fold it, throw it away, and try to make it fit their life. That's not how it works. I promise you, God is not going to change one thing of truth. He hasn't, He's not, nor will He ever. So why do we think it's going to be that way? Why do we think that things have changed? It's not changed. Nothing changed. So we know truth. We know the depravity of man. We know the truth about God, Christ, and the Holy Ghost. We know truth. Truth tells us about our past, our present, and our future. All because of truth. Well, how do you know you're going to heaven? If it wasn't for this book, I wouldn't know. How do you know there is a heaven? You ever seen it? Without this book, you wouldn't know. That's the importance of this truth. And that's the reason we have got to eat the book. We've got to learn this book. You've got to put this book in you and keep putting it in you and keep putting it in you and build up that strength. Wrap up those loose ends. Look over in Colossians chapter 3 real quick. And we're going to move into the next one. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, whose mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That's our battle. That's where we've got to walk in Christ. That's where truth is. So again, we need truth. Truth to give us strength. Truth to help us bind up those loose ends. Back over into Ephesians chapter 6. The second thing he tells us about is the breastplate of righteousness. We have our truth. It binds us. It gives us strength. The next thing he tells us to put on is this breastplate of righteousness. Again, put in your mind that soldier. Put in your mind what they would look like in those days. That and Brother Windham could tell a lot about things of this nature. You can tell a lot about history through what armor was. Because there's been all kinds of armor. In these days, they would have a choice either of that metal mail, or I think that's how you say it, just that woven type of metal. But then they also would have what they would call molded pieces of things that would guard their bodies. Now, this breastplate, what's the importance of it? What's it covering? The breastplate went from the neck down to about their hip area. It covered the front, it covered the back, and it covered the sides. Why would you need that? In a secular way, in a battle type atmosphere, all your organs. I like to deer hunt. You know where I want to hit a deer? In the heart. Why? That's the best place. That's a kill shot. He will not live. What do you think your enemy, which might be the devil, probably not, but your enemy, your old man, the world about us, do you think they're wanting you to stump your toe? No. What do you think they're going to aim for? They're going to aim for a kill shot. They want to hit you in your tort. Now, I'm not a marksman like some of you, and I know Brother David is very known for this. I think I've shot two in my life this way. When I kill a deer, I aim for the biggest part of its body that'll hit the heart. Why? Because I'm not the best shot in the world. Now, a lot of people will do a headshot because they drop where you hit them in the head. They're going down right there. So that old devil, that old world, your old flesh, it's not going after your feet. It's going to go after your big parts, your main part, or it could be a headshot as well. But so you've got your heart and your lungs and your liver and all these things, your organs, what makes you live right here. And God says, I've got something to protect that. Not physically, but spiritually. And again, these breastplates would go from the neck down to about the hips, not just the front, not just the back, not just the sides, but all of it. You know why? You never know where you're going to get attacked from. You think the enemy's out there. You never know. He might be coming in behind you. He might be coming in beside of you. That's the reason this breastplate is so important, to protect us, to keep us safe. So it's the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Whose righteousness? God's righteousness. Why? Because your righteousness, my righteousness. God, in truth, tells this, that my righteousness is what? Filthy rags. You don't want to wear a filthy rag. What good would a filthy rag do you? But we have His righteousness that we can put on this breastplate of His righteousness. So what is righteousness? Basically, righteousness is this: doing what is right in not your eyes, not the preacher's eyes, not in the church's eyes, but doing what is right in the eyes of God. Them comparing themselves amongst themselves is what? Not wise. Well, me and old brother Rick, I'm better than he is. That's not my comparison. That's not who I need to line up with. I think brother Rick's a great person. I think he's a great man of God. But he is not God. Our righteousness is of God. And His righteousness is doing what is right. It means purity, holiness, integrity of one mind with God. Again, so many people, so many churches, so many preachers want to pull that down to make it something more relatable that we can line up with. I need to look at Him. I need to see what He sees. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 26. Says, I therefore so run. This is Paul talking. It'd be good for you to go back and read the rest of it, but let's just get the gist of it this evening. I therefore so run, and we are running. You can't stand still. Either you're running backwards or you're running forwards. You're on the move. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That is Paul's greatest fear, is to be a castaway. I hope it's your fear tonight, that you would not be a castaway. But God says that you need to take this thing under subjection. You shouldn't just run this thing like there's no boundaries, there's no guardrails, there's no direction. That's part of this putting on His righteousness. Look over in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you hunger? Do you thirst after the righteousness of God? David said it like this, "Examine me, O Lord, and see." Tonight, would you ask God to examine you and show you the places in our lives and our bodies that's not pleasing unto Him? Look over in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11, look at verse number 4 this evening. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. You can have all the money this world's got. You can have all the finest things that this world has to offer. But that's not going to help you one bit in the battle that we're talking about. But righteousness, God's righteousness, as the Bible says here, will deliver us from death. Take your Bibles over to the book of Romans. We're getting ready to close. Romans chapter 13. When you found your place, look at me. I'm all for taking care of stuff. I really am. But if you buy a truck, and again, I'm speaking me. My wife put my first big ding in my truck, so it's just a truck. A truck's made for what? Being used. I'll never forget, there's a guy over in Yagnell. I don't remember his name now. He's dead. He had two big boys, and they cut pulpwood. And he bought a brand new truck. And he told his boys, take that truck and go start cutting wood. And one of the boys said, Daddy, I ain't driving your new truck down through the woods. And Daddy says, boy, I told you, take that truck and go cut wood. Daddy, but this thing's brand new. I don't want to get it all scratched up. True story. Not a false story. Not a preacher story. A true story. That man got in that truck and run it slap into the tree. He says, now go cut some wood. Armor isn't worn for its beauty, is it? So when we look at righteousness, righteousness is not something that you look at to admire. But righteousness is something you should do. It's not just to look at. It's something you should do. Righteousness isn't something you just grab. It's what you do. So we need to learn to gird our loins with truth. Put on this breastplate that will protect us from every side. And that is that walking in the light. Walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Look with me in Romans chapter 13 this evening. We'll close out with these verses. Look at verse number 11. Paul tells it like this. God using there through the inspiration of God says, verse 11, and that knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. If we really believe what we say we believe, And we really believe that the Lord could come back at any moment. Don't you think we'd be dressed right? And I'm not talking about what you're wearing, because you're not taking these clothes with you. But you ought to be wearing His righteousness, His truth. The nighttime's far spent. This thing ain't going to get better, it's going to get worse. Let's get used to the armor. God made it just for you. I promise you, one size fits all in the armor of God. Have your loins girded and your lamp burning. Be ready. Let's stand together this evening. Miss Rhonda comes, Brother Russell comes. We'll stand this evening. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Listen, I know it's Wednesday night. I know many of us have been saved a long time. Again, I don't know that everybody's saved. I never say that everybody was saved. I sure hope everybody's saved. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Salvation isn't something you just pick and choose. Salvation is something that changes you, makes you a new creature, as we looked at Sunday. But tonight, if you're saved, how's your armor looking? Have you got it on right now? Oh, preacher, we come to church. There's no enemy here. Oh, I hate to say this, but you're wrong. The devil is more faithful, and his soldiers are more faithful to the church than most people ever will be. Why? If he can get in here, if he can get in you and let you bring in him in here, the damage that could be done. Tonight, God wants us to put on this armor. He's not going to make you. But I promise you, you want to. You need to. Brother Russell, go ahead and start out with a verse. As Brother Russell sings this evening, I don't know what your needs are. I don't know what's upon your heart right now. I don't know what God's been speaking to you about. Maybe it's just about reading your Bible.
Have thine own way.
Maybe you sort of slacked up and didn't read like you used to read. Or maybe you're not reading at all.
Have thine own way.
Maybe you
thou art
things
the
of God and start walking a little bit off to the side.
Potter,
drifting a little bit out into the world.
And I am the clay.
You mind the Lord this evening.
Mold me and make me after thy will. While yielded and still.
Choking up here, but I got to thinking. Some of y'all has been in the military. I've never been in the military. I've heard stories. Back when the military was military, I don't know what they become today. They're not near as what they used to be, I don't think, from the things I hear. I'll use Brother Cofty for a minute. Brother Cofty, I'd hate to see him in his prime of days. I think he could about whip anybody when I knew him. But when they call them guys out to stand out there at attention for inspection. Now, you guys that's in the military, you tell me. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. When that guy walked by you and examined you, he knew exactly what he was looking for. And if you had one little thing, I mean one little thing, he'd probably rub you on your head and say, "That's okay, son. You just do what you need to do. It'll be all right." No. Anybody do that when they was in the military? I don't think so. But if you had one little thing wrong, I bet you could about put your nose on that dude's tonsils. Because he was letting you know that you were not right. And you need to fix it. And you better be right the next time. And I'm sure there were some punishments that come along with that. If we allow our milk, and I think it's great, I like, it sounds good to me. How much more when God calls us to attention? And He passes about our place and looks to see how we are. Do you think He's just going to rub us on our head and say, son, it's all right, do what you want to do? I don't think so. There's a right way and a wrong way. Right still right, wrong still wrong, and there's no in between. So, appreciate you being here. We're going to close out in prayer in just a moment. Right after prayer time, my wife, ladies, I can't talk, but all you ladies, my wife has a gift for you, something she would like to present to you and show you a little something that will help you in reading your Bible and doing some studying to put down some things. So you come and see my wife just right here real quickly after service, and she'll do that real quickly, I promise. Do pray again for our church family needs here at the church. The sickness, of course. Paula Cockrell, health issues. Brenda Russell, foot problems. Cheryl Bullock, recovering from surgery. Amy Canuck, wrist surgery Friday, so do pray for her there. Mama, Lima, Lima.
Liam.
L-I-A-M. Liam Murdoch. It's a little boy Miss Aretha told me about. He has a skin disease that's, I can't imagine. It would be worse than, I believe, than third degree burn. Basically, his skin is falling off. Yeah, his skin is whatever this disease is, his skin. They have him wrapped up like a mummy to try to protect him. Say it again. Yeah, serious pain. So just pray for that little one. Pray for his parents there. You know, could be me, could be you. So just pray for that. Again, we got a lot of sickness in our church. Pray for Miss Stone as she's recovering. Brother Hunting as he's recovering. Again, pray for the lost. Do you remember that? Brother Brian called me this afternoon. I did the call out. Do pray for the Stokes. They've got COVID, and it sounds like it's really, really bad. So do pray for them as they go through this. Also, Brian told me that there's a couple of ladies that he works with. Their mothers have. One has cancer. One has something else. I don't remember what it was. I had it wrote down, but it's at the house, so I forgot to bring it. So, but God knows who they are. I know that. But just pray for those two ladies as well. Remember Miss Rose, of course. She's having some bad days as well. So I forget anybody? Yeah, Uncle Shorty, she sent him home today. He's doing a little bit better. And he went to the house today to get back into his groove of life. So he don't like our life. We don't have Fox News or the Weather Channel. That is the honest truth. What do they call it when somebody comes off drugs? DTs? He's been having DTs for the last week because he's not been able to watch Fox News or the Weather Channel. It's amazing. Amen. All right. Let's gather around the altar this evening. We'll carry these into the Lord. Do remember all of our service. I will let you know about Sunday when we make that decision. But for right now, plan on being here for Sunday school, 10 o'clock, preaching at 11 o'clock, Sunday night service at 6. And don't forget, after prayer time, ladies, I would really like to encourage you to come. Won't take just a few minutes. She's a little longer-winded than I am, but maybe she's got a short one. But ouch. So do pray. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Remember Brother Tony there. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you, Lord, once again, Lord, for the honor, the privilege it is even to come into this place, this prayer room. And God, I thank you, Lord, that we could bow at your feet tonight, Lord. And God, cast our cares this evening, Lord. And God, I know I'm a needy creature. Oh, Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, I just want to say thank you tonight, first of all, for how good you are to me. Lord, for all the things that you do that I don't even know about, Lord. The things that I take for granted, the things, Lord, that I don't even consider. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for watching over a dumb old sheep like me. God, I thank you, Lord God, for this book. I thank you for truth. I thank you for your righteousness. Lord, I do thank you tonight, dear God, for your presence, your leadership, your guidance. Lord, I'm glad that you're a high priest tonight, that we can give you our infirmities tonight, Lord. And God, I do pray for the needs of our church family. Lord, so much sickness around about us, Lord. And Lord, this COVID thing just stilled us everywhere, it sounds like. And God, I just pray, Lord, you touch family. I forgot to mention Brother Danny, Miss Lindy's daughter. I just pray, God, that she continues to improve. God, that you'll just touch her and help the family there. I do pray for this little boy here that's got this skin disorder, Lord. I just pray that you'll touch him. God, I'm glad that even though the pain, I can't even begin to imagine. I can't imagine what that little boy's been through these last days. But God, even through all of that, God, you're bigger, you're greater, you're sufficient. And God, I just pray, God, for comfort. I pray you just hold that little boy in your arms tonight, God, and God, just comfort him. And Lord, I don't know his family situation, but Lord, for the mama, for the daddy tonight, Lord, I pray that they could feel your presence tonight, God, and let them know that they're not alone. God, I do pray, dear God, for the ladies that Brother Brian told me about. I pray, dear God, Lord, that you touch them. God, I pray that you comfort those families. I do pray for Miss Dawn as she's recovering. I pray for Brother Hunting and his wife. God, that you'll just continue to help there. Lord, we pray for Brother Stokes and Miss Stokes and the family there as they're going through this time. I pray that you touch them. And we do pray for this Paula Cockrell there with some health issues. And for Miss Brenda, Lord, we just pray, God, you touch her. And Miss Cheryl, as she's recovering, God, we just ask you to help there. And Miss Amy, as she's having some surgery this Friday, Lord, we just pray that you touch her. And God, just thank you again, Lord, that we're able to pray. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege. Lord, I do pray, God, that you would help us individually, but also collectively, God, to learn of you, to take this armor of God seriously, and God, to learn of it, and God, to daily put on the whole armor of God, and help us to stand. Help us not to bow to this old world. Help us not to bow to this old flesh. But God, help us to stand and proclaim the truth. Lord, give us safety as we travel home. God, watch over us and keep us safe. Give us rest. And Lord, if you let us have another day tomorrow, God, I pray it will be a day that's well used for you. And Lord, we ask it all in your name, your precious name, the name that's above every name. Amen. Hope you have a good evening. Ladies, don't forget, if you can come down here real quickly, my wife's got something she would love to share with you.